Welcome to Jets Rewind. I'm Marty Shupak. I'm joined by my two very close friends, Ray Clifford out in the Buckeye State in Ohio, and Raf Sharaga up in Massachusetts. How you guys doing? Ray, how you doing?
Doing good. Just hoping to keep the train rolling here.
Yeah, we gotta make sure that train goes. How about you, Raf?
Good. I've been just doing research into Hassan Reddick and his contract.
Okay, that could.
So I got no life.
That's going to be a thesis. Let me just go over a
Just
little
retirement, yeah.
house cleaning before we get to classic Jets trivia. I only got the injury report on the Jets. It's nothing new. Obviously, Morgan Moses is out. CJ Mosley did not practice. Tyron Smith had a veteran rest day. Ralph, you're retired, but Ray, I think you and me, we're still working. We should get like a veteran rest day. You know
I think I need
that?
a couple veteran rest days.
Yeah,
I
that would
wonder
be
if
good.
Tyron takes a nap on those days, because
Sure. Couple of roster moves this week. The Jets signed to the practice squad. I've seen him listed as a quarterback and safety. Jalen Mills to the practice squad. He's been around a little bit. I think he played on the Eagles championship team, played for the Patriots. Also, we let go to make room for him. Jalen Key, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm sure somewhere down the road he'll be back. And keeping up with the Bryce Brees history, we signed another Brandon Smith, who's a linebacker, to the practice squad.
that's right. Don't forget the Michael Carter
That's
history.
true. So this is
Yeah.
interesting. And good thing one guy plays offense, one defense. But he shows some interest to me. I looked into him. Fourth round draft pick, 2022 from Penn State, which used to be called Linebacker U. Carolina, he played in 12 games, one start. They let him go. Then he was with the Eagles, played in two games. He had 31 snaps on special teams. So you don't know. You know, Ralph, when I think of signing a linebacker off of the waiver list, who do you think I think of?
Brandon Smith.
No.
I don't know. There's only about 800 of
Quincy Williams.
Quincy Williams.
Yeah.
It's funny because when the wide receiver Brandon Smith was doing his thing in preseason, I said, I got to research this guy. And every time I Googled him, I got the other Brandon Smith. So
Now we
now we
got
got them
them
both.
both. Ray, we just made Ralph's job easy for
Yeah.
him. We got them
I
both.
know it is 40 timers. It's like four fives, you know? And I go, wow, that's not bad. And then I go, wait a minute, he's not 240 pounds, 6 foot 2.
Right. So now we got them both. A couple of things, factoids that came across the internet I thought was interesting. Then we'll get right to the classic trivia. The Jets have run 182 offensive plays. As you guys know, when they say 21 personnel, that's two running backs and one tight end. Out of 182 plays, they ran 21 personnel, 10 plays. 5.4% of the time. I'd like to see that increased a little bit. Interestingly, they ran 12 personnel, which is one running back, two tight ends, 52 plays,
Yeah.
28.5% of the time, which I kind of like. I don't know how you guys feel. I like having both linebackers there. And I wouldn't
Tight
mind
ends, yeah.
tight ends, I'm saying tight
Yeah.
ends. And I wouldn't mind seeing this third linebacker activated one game that we got from Chicago. I'm a little intrigued with that.
Tight end.
Tight end. Tight end. I'm sorry. Keep correcting me, Ralph.
I
Tight end.
thought, did I see number 84 on the field the other day, which would be Yeboah, or was that Brandon Bates. I do you know what number he is? Because I thought I saw Yeboah the other day. Maybe I
I
was
don't
having
know.
a
I thought Yeboah
hallucin.
was 85.
Is he 85?
I
Okay.
thought Bo was out for four games, but we'll look
Nope.
into that.
Maybe it's his ghost.
Right.
Yeah.
And 11 personnel, which is one running back, one tight end. They had 110 plays, which is 60.4%. So I think that's pretty good. The only thing I would like to see, I don't know how you feel, I like having both running backs there, but of course, we only have one football. And pretty soon, I'm sure, even if the Jets win, you might hear Garrett Wilson start crying if he doesn't get like enough targets. But we'll get into
Well, we'll
that.
talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Ralph, you have a classic Jets trivia. And hopefully it's some sort of historical trivia.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to do this one this week, but I'm going to do it prematurely because I feel like if I wait till next week, the writers and the jet writers will be writing about it, so it'll blow it for me. So I'm going to do it. I'm gonna whatever it is, whatever. Anyway, yeah. So in 10 days, we're going to play our old friend Sam Darnold. And what I want to know is, there are still four players on the roster who were there when Sam Darnold was here for his last year. Can you name the four players?
Ooh. Okay, that's
That's
a
on the 53-man roster because there's also someone on the practice squad as
okay.
well.
I have one. I
Oh, I
know
figured
that.
you had one.
Yeah, okay, which I think is that one's fairly easy. All right, let me give you before we get to the first thing on the agenda, I just want to get it out of the way. I have a one of Marty's quick trivia, which I'll ask a question and then we'll just come up the answer right away. Unlike Ralph's classic trivia. Ralph might know this, but I don't know if Ray does. We're playing the Denver Broncos. Who was the defensive backs coach or the secondary coach for the Broncos? Do you guys know?
No, I don't.
Ray?
I
Nope.
just, yeah.
I'll give you a hint. He's a former Jet.
Well, I
Oh,
kind of figured that.
that
Okay, well, that narrows it down a little.
much. If I name a state, that might give it away.
The state?
Well, I'm going to name a state and you'll probably get it. I'm going to name the state of Wisconsin.
Jim Leonard.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, Marty's favorite all-time Jet, right?
For about
Yeah.
2 years. Yeah, one of my favorite Jets, and which would be good. And it's funny. I was going to ask Ray, it should be interesting, Ray, because he's really good at moving up the ladder. I'm sure next year he'll get a defensive coordinator. But the question is, who's going to get the head coaching job first? Jim Leonard or Aaron Glenn? I think Aaron Glenn deserves, but we'll see. Anyway, let's get back to the Jets and Jets Rewind. Breece Hall, who it looks like he's giving up some snaps because we all love Braylon Allen. I probably love him more than you guys too. I just really do. But is he the same player, do you think? And I'll ask this to Ray first. You think he's the same player he was before his knee injury, Ray?
Yeah, last year he was outstanding, and that was after the knee injury. But I think this year I think he's being keyed on more so far. He's off to a slower start, but I don't think that has anything to do with the knee injury or anything. I think they're just focusing on him defensively. Braylon Allen could loosen that up, though. That's the nice thing about having Allen, is that they can rely on him on the inside more if they would. I think that's part of the problem too, is they. They were trying to run Breece up the middle too much here in these early games. Get him to the outside. I think he still broke some, but I think anytime he's trying to go up the middle, he's mostly getting stuffed right now. So I think we didn't get a whole lot to see of him that first year, so it's hard to say,
True.
he's not the same. But he had a hell of a bounce back year last year. So yeah.
Okay, how about you, Ralph?
I think he's not quite. I think about 85, 90% of what he was. I just feel like, oh, before that injury, man, every time he touched the ball, I felt like this guy was going to go. And he hasn't quite shown that this year. One of the reasons I brought that up was because Denver, Javonte Williams, who was a second-round pick the year before, and started out like he was a terrific player in college, Michael Carter's running mate. And he got a knee injury, and he has not been the same at all since then. And as far
Right.
as Saquon Barkley, it felt like it took him a couple of years too to get back. So I think Breece did really well last year. In the middle of the year, something happened, and he just it was bad blocking, or I don't know if he lost some confidence in his knee or something. But I still feel he's not quite there, but. I can't complain though, because with knee injuries, you just never know.
I think he's like running the same, but I kind of agree with Ray's philosophy with the preseason. And it's like the first 2 to 4 game or 1 to 4 games seems to be like that's the preseason for the veterans. As the line gets it more together and they get in rhythm, I think he will too. Ralph mentioned the last show how Braylon Allen like tripped up on one play, he almost broke it. The same thing happened to Breece
Yeah, with
Hall.
Hall. Yeah.
He got tripped up, which I don't think has anything to do with the knee, but I
No.
think you're going to see one or both of those guys possibly break it on Sunday. Now, talk about the offensive line. Morgan Moses is out 2 to 4 games, and they did not put him on the injured reserve, which is, I think it's good news. Hopefully, it's good news. And I guess the question is, if Olo plays at a really high level, what do we do? What's our personnel decision when Morgan Moses comes back? Ralph, let's start with you.
Well, I think what they'll do is they'll finesse it a little at first and let Moses, sit a little longer and say, we want him to heal up just better since things are going well the way they are. But at a certain point, they will have to make a choice. And I think if Olu is playing at a really high level, they're going to stick with him.
Okay, how about you, Ray?
Yeah, I think if he's dominant, I don't think they'll switch back, but it won't, And if he's dominant, I'm good with that too. But if he's, just playing along the same level as Moses was, I'd go back to Moses because I want Fashanu to be ready to go to the left side because I know Smith isn't going to play every game, so he's going to have to do. I think that's where he'll go to the left side, even if he's dominant on the right side. Teron Smith is not going to play every game. We know that. Whether it's by injury or just by giving him a week off. So, but if he's dominant, I don't know how you take him out.
Right. It's the old comes to the old question. Can you lose your job of professional sports because of an injury? I'm not sure, but I think on something like when you're talking about the knee, if he's playing at a high level, there's nothing wrong with keeping him out another game or two. I mean, I don't think it's going to turn into a Wally Pipp situation. And
What about a
that's
Tom Brady situation?
Tom Brady situation. Now, I'm glad you brought up his name, Ralph. I want to ask Ray a question. He follows it more than me. I was watching the on replay, I guess the NFL Network, Dallas and Baltimore, and I guess Tom Brady does the color.
Yeah, he did in that game,
He signed a 10-year, $300 million contract. And interestingly, when he signed the contract, I got a number of emails, and I told everyone, no, that's wrong. It's got to be a misprint. It's got to be 10 years, 30 million, but it was 300 million. But talk about this guy. I had a look and hear him for 20 years. I turned on the Olympics. He's there in the front row. I turned on the US Open. He's there. He's all over the place. Can't Ray, how long are we going to have to listen to this guy? What happened to Tony Romo? I mean, I'm so tired
No, that's
of Brady.
Romo's on just the other. He's with the other team. This is I might be even the other channel. I'm not sure on the same station.
Romo's CBS and is he
Yeah, I think
Fox. Yeah.
Fox is
Yeah.
Brady, but Brady took Greg Olsen's place, who I thought was pretty good. But they're going with name star power, and he hasn't been bad. But this last game, the Dallas one, just was when Dallas was down. What was it? 28-6, and Brady starts going through the Super Bowl against Atlanta, and it's like the last thing I wanted to listen to
Oh,
was
yeah. I
him
mean,
back in that.
Ralph, has he ever heard of
Horrible.
the term keeping a low profile? Ever? I mean, I don't know. I'm just sick of it. And I'm a guy that respects him as a quarterback. Okay. Let's get back to the Jets. That's my Tom Brady thing. All right. Here we go in the year of politics. And here are the percentages. Now we have to guess what's the percentages now of Reddick playing for the Jets this season? I'm going to say zero. Because 3 times I predicted he was going to sign this week, this week, this week, and I was wrong all the time. I'm going to say that's it. He's not playing for this team. So go ahead, Ralph.
So the deal is if he doesn't report to the Jets by the trade deadline, which is November 5th, which something else is going on that day too, I can't recall, but
Some little thing.
the Jets retain his rights to next year. So something's going to happen before then. He's either going to play or he's going to get traded. And all these people around the league are saying, Douglas is going to trade him. He's going to have to accept what he accepts. And I say that Douglas does not do that. Douglas is really stubborn when it comes to trading. You look at the Jamal Adams thing, the Sam Darnold trade. Remember, we kept saying, just get rid of him. And he was like, no, I'm going to get my price, or I'm not trading the guy. He's an asset. And he ended up getting a really good deal for him. I do not think Douglas will trade him for like a sixth round pick. There's just no way he's going to do that. That's just his MO. That's my opinion. So I think there is a shot that Reddick will play for the Jets.
All
I would
right,
say a 1 in 3 shot.
Ralph, do you think that there's a that regardless of what the Jets' record is going moving towards November 5th, you don't think that has any implication on what Joe Douglas does with him?
Well, I'm not really, because I feel like it's just a matter of what I think. In a perfect world, Douglas would say, if someone offered me a third round pick for him, I'd get rid of him right now. It's not going to happen. I
Okay.
don't think, and Reddick does not want the Jets to retain his rights for next year. That would be a disaster for him. So I was just reading a list of guys in the last 5 years or 6, 10 years who have done this. And most of them end up reporting and not getting what they want.
Right.
I think that, like I said, I think someone will give him a decent trade if they're desperate and they're a contender at that point. But if not, I think Douglas is gonna, draw the line, and Reddick has to play, or he's a Jet for next year, which he doesn't want.
How about you, Ray? What percentage do you think there is that he plays for the Jets this year?
I still think there's a good chance he could play for him. I'm a lot higher than probably you guys. I think there, because I just can't believe he's going to walk away from 14 million. And besides, like Ralph says, and then be a Jet again next year. So I think there, to me, I think, especially if any more injuries happen, obviously things can happen that can affect all of this. But I said there's still, I think, a 60% chance he ends up just giving in and coming in. But I think there's like an 80 or more percent chance that they trade him before that November 5th and he plays for somebody. I do think he'll play this year. It's just a matter of, is it the Jets or is it someone else? And I think, it's a higher percentage to me that he'd come in, that he'd get traded and play somewhere else. But I still think there's a good chance, if that doesn't happen, that he'll come in with the Jets.
All right, we'll see. I mean, I was a little surprised after that Thursday night game. I thought, in those 9 days that they would have signed someone. And I think you both said you think they're going to stay pat, and you guys were both right. And I'm saying he's not going to play for the Jets, and you both saying he is. So if
I'm
history,
saying he might.
Oh, yeah, I
if,
see.
right. All right, if the Bears had anything, then you guys will, or Ray will probably be right. But, Bill Belichick came out this week. And Ralph, what exactly did he say?
He's on Pat McAfee's show, and I understand he's on TV now, so he's got to say things that get attention and get an easy laugh. But he's doing it at the Jets' expense, and I feel like we're. Like when you're a parent of kids, you tell the teacher, you don't yell at my kid. I can yell at my kid, but you don't yell at my kid. And I don't want Bill Belichick using the Jets as a punchline, especially when he's totally off base. He made this comment about Sam Darnold, saying, I guess the Jets are the only team in the league that didn't like Sam Darnold. And what I'm assuming he meant, like him as a player, not as a person. Either way, it's a ridiculous comment, because number one, Saleh and the coaching staff was not here when he was there. Douglas didn't draft him. Although, and when Douglas was going to trade him, he waited because he thought he was an asset. He wasn't going to just give him away for a bag of balls. And so, so and then to top it all off, okay, the Jets have him for 3 years. Carolina gives him 2 years. San Francisco has him sit on the bench for 1 year. So who was the team that liked him the most?
Right.
My last point about it is that Belichick, after Mac Jones's first year, it was obvious to everyone, even Marty, that Mac Jones stunk and he was going to ruin that franchise. Well, guess what? After year two, Sam Darnold was a free agent. If Bill Belichick liked Sam Darnold that much, he should have signed him, because Mac Jones basically cost him his job. So Bill Belichick is full of crap. I understand he's on TV now. He's got to do cute stuff, but Stop talking about our team, all right? As Aaron Rodgers would say to Sean Payton.
Okay. All right. Very good response, and I'll probably counter after Ray's. Go ahead, Ray. What's your feeling about Belichick?
I didn't even know what he said, so I was waiting for Ralph to tell me what exactly he said. And yeah, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. The problem with it's not that he didn't like Sam Darnold. We never gave him anything to work with. And same with Zach. We never gave them an offensive line pretty much their whole time here. We finally fix it, and but that's because of Rodgers, and we knew that if we didn't fix the line, that he'd be basically dead by year two. So, but and then Carolina liked him for a year and then drafted somebody else in his place to replace him, who was even worse, as it turns out.
But Baker Mayfield came in, they
Oh,
said.
Baker Mayfield came in too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mayfield came in. I don't know how he equates that we didn't like him based on how everything played out. It didn't go well, but I mean, I think everybody liked Sam. It's just he wasn't able to perform with the crap they gave him for an offense. So, yeah, that's Belichick being Belichick. He's still got to get his digs in, no
Right.
matter what.
And I believe it reaffirms, except for some exceptions to the rule, that when you draft a quarterback, you have to sit him for at least a year or at least part of the
Part
year.
of the year.
I truly believe that a CJ Stroud, a Jaden Daniels, they're
Yeah.
more the exception than the
Well,
rule.
let's not get ahead of ourselves on Daniels yet.
No, I
It's only
know.
been
I
four
know. I
games.
know.
But he
I
does
know.
look pretty darn good.
Yeah. I think he will be good. Ralph, isn't it when you spoke to your kids' teachers, you said that I don't want you to hit my kids. I want to be the one to hit them. Wasn't
Yeah, that
that?
was in a Woody Allen movie. Yeah, it was funny. Exactly. And
I
then he
just want
starts
to.
smacking him right in
That's
front
it.
of
I want
the
to add one thing, because there's a lot of revisionism in football. And again, all three of us like Sam Darnold. But if you go back to Carolina, I believe when he was there, he was 3-0 and he was playing really well. And I know Christian McCaffrey got hurt, and a lot of people will blame the downfall after that. I don't, but after that, it kind of spun out of control, and he didn't really have good numbers after those first three games. So again, I hope he does well, but let's see if he could do it for a whole season. And I think he was put into a good situation last year, sitting on the bench at with the 49ers with Shanahan. I think that's great. Just like this year for the Jets, I think it's a great situation for their fifth round draft pick, who from Florida State, who's redshirted. He's sitting in the meetings, and also my guy, who I discovered, Adrian Martinez, who you guys never heard of. I had to tell you about this guy.
Never heard of him.
Well, we
Yeah.
were too busy researching Mac Jones. Hey, listen, Marty, I want to just say a couple of things about this. There was someone threw this out yesterday or the day before that actually Joe Douglas wanted to keep Sam Darnold and draft Penei Sewell with the number two pick. I don't know if that's true or not. It's possible. I know Douglas is a big offensive line guy. I know Douglas really liked Darnold. He felt terrible about having to get rid of him. So that's interesting. The other interesting thing is in the Salas press conference yesterday or the day before, one of the reporters said, there's this pattern around the league with all these quarterbacks in their second or third or fourth stop who are doing really well this year, like Geno and Sam Darnold, Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield. And they asked Sal about it, said, "Is this the wave of the future?" And Sal said, and he was pretty honest. He said, "A lot of these players, we just don't put them in a situation where they can succeed." And that is the bottom line. I mean, you got your guy, Brock Purdy, Marty, nice football player, but he, if he was on the Jets, as my line always goes, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing now if he, Adam Gase were his coach or something like that. It's so important. It means so much to the future of these quarterbacks to be in the right situation.
Well, could you explain again? We'll get back to the Jets, but Ralph, what about Trevor Lawrence? How do you look at that situation there? Because he's with Peterson, who should be, to me, that's a situation to succeed with him. What's going on with that guy?
Well, you'd think so. I don't. Obviously, every situation is different. But with these other guys, and you'll get a kick out of this, Marty. When the guy asked that question, the first thing he said is, I'll use Zach Wilson as an example. He said we didn't give him the support he needed, and he says I still believe somewhere down the line in his third or fourth stop he's going to be a good football player, and I think it's definitely a shot when you see what
Right.
happens to these other guys. As far as Trevor Lawrence goes, I think the same thing. They're really stuck in an awkward position because they had to sign him to that ridiculous contract, and they're committed to him, and he might not have been ready yet. He was this big 6'6" guy who could throw the ball through the wall, and he gets put on this Clemson team, which is a juggernaut, and he looks great. And suddenly he's a generational quarterback, and he's really not. And so now they're kind of stuck with him. I don't know why he regressed. It kind of feels a little like the Carson Wentz situation.
Yes.
I mean, Wentz did get the injury, but in the second year he looked dynamite, just
He did.
like Lawrence did, and then it's never been the same for him. So I don't know. I mean, I could see Lawrence just busting and then 5 years from now rising, or maybe he'll come out of it. But I don't know if Peterson's going to keep his job, though.
Right. I think there's a lot of pressure. Ray, any thoughts on the quarterbacks in the NFL? Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. About moving
Well,
around. I think, Ray, I just want to give Ralph credit. I like what he said a few weeks ago, that a future trend might be not to draft a quarterback in the first round, unless I don't want to say a sure thing, because you don't know if a if it's if Caleb Williams is going to be Peyton Manning, but draft one like in the third and one in the fifth and try to develop. But I think Ralph, that was good. But go ahead, Ray, your thoughts on quarterbacking in the NFL?
I don't think you'll ever see them not draft a quarterback. If a team needs one, that's going to be the first place they go most of the time, if not all the time. It's just, that's arguably the most important position on the field. And if you have one there that you think is it, they're going to draft him. But I do think they rush him too much now because of the money mainly. I don't know what to think about what happened with Lawrence, because I mean, even like two-thirds of the way through last year, he was still really good, and then it's like fell off the table bad and just like gone. And I don't know, and Peterson's a good quarterback, coach. He's really developed some guys, and he's done well with it. So I don't know what the hell to say about that. Sam, I think, is in a good place for the first time where he's got a pretty complete offense in front of him. And we'll see if he can keep it going for a whole year. But I just, I think that the money has changed all these guys, where they feel like we've invested a lot in them. We got to get them on the field and get them out there and get our money's worth out of them. But I think it's the worst thing to happen to him at the same time.
It's not as bad as it used to be. I remember, I think Sam Bradford was the last guy that got these insane contracts.
Before, I
I
think,
think
before they did the
slotting
slot.
them, yeah. I think what it is partly is, and it's one of the reporters brought that up with Jordan Love, is that, the guy doesn't play for 3 years. And then when he's in there, you have to make a commitment off of 1 year, and you don't really get a good look at him. So that's part of it. It's like and we also want to take advantage of the fact that this guy isn't making not that much money, so we can stock up on other positions. What I want to ask you guys is, if Sam Darnold, I don't see any reason why Sam Darnold won't be good. And I think it's not just the situation. I think it's just that, he's been around the league. He's matured, and he understands the game better, like all these guys. Like Geno Smith, everyone keeps saying, well, let's see. Well, Geno Smith, obviously, is ready to play football. What happens if Sam Darnold is really good? What happens with J.J. McCarthy?
Well, it depends
That would
how
be our
far
new quarterback after Rodgers.
it depends how far he takes him, and give Sam Darnold some kudos. He signed a 1-year contract, so he's going to do the best situation for himself wherever it is.
Hey, let's bring him back. If we're, well.
I don't know if he'd come back, but maybe. It was funny because I thought last year, and I was I remember talking to my good friend Lenny Kaye, who Ralph knows, a very big Giant fan, and he thought the Giants should assign him from San Francisco. So it's interesting. But one more mention of a quarterback, then we'll get back to the Jets. And then you have a situation in Cleveland where Deshaun Watson signed a contract, and it was the first ever fully guaranteed. And you have 31 owners that are so upset with Cleveland, and I'm sure they're kind of laughing behind the curtain because he's sticking it up like crazy. He doesn't look anything like he looked the year before he went with them. So, all
You
right,
know,
go ahead, Pat.
but real quick, you know what's funny? Because nobody talks about it because it didn't burn them the way it looked like it might, was how San Francisco, what they gave up to get Trey Lance, and then everything blows up. They end up with Brock Purdy, so they ship him off to Dallas. But they gave up what, three first
Three
rounders?
first round picks, yeah.
But it just happened the right guy stepped in.
You
And
know,
yeah.
it's so interesting. You see certain organizations that are so confident, and the 49ers, and then I think of my favorite coach at the Los Angeles Rams. Well, they just give away their draft picks. They end up winning a Super Bowl, and they end up bouncing back with a competitive. Some
Yeah.
organizations are able to do that. It's incredible.
Well, because they're well coached and they can find other players. The 49ers, it's not, I mean, that was a horrible thing, but don't forget, they had a number three pick a couple of few years before they picked Solomon Thomas, a bust. Then a couple of years after that, they have the number 12 or 13 pick. They picked Javon Kinlaw, another bust for them. I mean,
Both,
between that, huh?
they're on a team we know now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Fortunately, we got them for, well, we didn't give up just some money. But it just shows you, if you run the organization right, everyone says, well, you make a bad pick for quarterback in the first round, it sets your team back 5 years. It doesn't have to if you have a really
Right.
good
That's
organization. Yeah. Look,
absolutely right. Go ahead, Ray.
look at Houston, because they looked like they were going to be rebuilding for two or
Oh,
three years.
yeah. Amazing.
Out,
Yeah.
and all of a sudden their offense is everything. And again, I think the coach is really good too. Is that Raheem Morris? Is he the one that's
No,
coaching?
it's
Who is
I
it?
can't guy from San Francisco, I
Yeah,
think.
I can
I
picture him. I
mean,
can't think of his
but
name.
he's a defensive guy, and their
Yeah.
defense is good.
Right.
Well, they got lucky though that CJ Stroud slipped to them.
Okay, we're going to get to some Jets over unders. They're playing the Denver Broncos. If you just tuned in, this is Jets Rewind. We got off tangent a little bit,
Well,
but the
Marty, before that, I put something down there about did I put it down? If the Jets win the Super Bowl, do you
I'm
think
going
Aaron
to ask that.
Rodgers?
Yeah, Ralph, I said before we get to the over-under
Oh,
question. All right, since Ralph seems very anxious, so I'll start with Ralph. If the
well,
Jets
because I think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
somehow win this, 31-17, right? If they
Oh,
somehow
no.
win the Super
16 to
Bowl,
7.
does Rodgers retire? Ralph.
Yes, absolutely. It'd be crazy not to. So my ideal scenario is they make the playoffs this year, win a round, and then next year he comes back and they win the whole thing, so we can have him for 2 years. But I guess if they win it this year, I'll take that, and he can go riding into the sunset.
Ray, your thoughts if they win the Super Bowl?
I think he should, but I don't think he will. I think he'll want another year to bask in the glory of what happened and really enjoy the spotlight of being the man for another year. But I think he should if they were to do it, but I bet he doesn't.
I kind of agree with Ray. If they somehow win a playoff game or two, I think he'll come back. I think he loves this type of a life where he's in the spotlight. And he comes up with some great answers, when he gets questioned on like Pat McAfee, and he knows exactly what to say. I've always said there were some athletes that somehow they know exactly what to say. Michael Jordan was like that. Tom Brady was like that. I think Aaron Judge is like that. And I think Rodgers is like that. So I think he will come back. All right, over-unders. Here we go. We're playing Denver. Bo Nix, who is a very, very good runner. So the first one is, and this is to you, Ray, over under 40 yards rushing.
Well, I know we didn't have a much a problem last week. Our defense was good, but he's a really smart and a good runner. I go over.
Okay, Ralph.
I'm going to say under because I think the Jets are going to play it differently than they did with the Patriots last week. I think they're going to try and keep him in the pocket and make him beat them with a pass.
Right. Okay, I'm going to say under. I kind of agree with Ralph. I'm going to start next. Bo Nix, 200 yards passing. I'm going to go over just because I think the Jets are going to win, not by a lot, but I just think that he's going to be under pressure to pass a lot in the second half. So I'm going to say over. Ray?
I'm going with under. I don't know. I don't know enough about their receiving core to feel real confident that if they get pressure on him, I think he's going to be struggling to get the ball to guys. But I mean, didn't they get rid of the one guy who burned us there?
Cortland Sutton's their best wide receiver. They've got
Okay.
Reynolds.
Trying to think of who they had that they got rid of, and I can't think
Yeah,
of
one of the Alabama guys.
yeah
One
yeah
of the guys, Judon, or was that it? Or one of the other guys? Jerry Jeudy or
Jude, yeah, I think it was Jude.
Okay.
Jeudy.
All
right. Did you guys all go? We'll go to the next one, or did I
Yeah,
skip
I'm gonna
one?
say over like you, Marty. I think they're
Okay.
gonna be playing from behind, and I think he'll be throwing the ball around.
Okay. All right. And Ralph, you'll start now. Bo Nix, over under 1.5 interceptions.
Yeah, I think that's going to be over too because, like I said, he's going to be playing from behind. He's going to put up some numbers, but he's also going to make some mistakes. I mean, he looked good last week, but let's not forget he has right now 0 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So he's still a rookie. And as Forrest Gump would say, with rookie quarterbacks, you never know what you're going to get from game to game. So.
Okay, Ray.
Yeah, as long as we can hang on to him, I'm going over. I mean, that's the question. We'll have more than 1.5 in their hands. Whether or not they hold them is
Well, if
another
Mosley doesn't play, we're all set because
Right. I'm going to say under, but I think they're going to have one interception. I think Sauce Gardner is going to have his first interception of the year. He's
Wow.
actually going to catch the ball. So I'll say under. I'm going to start next. Over under. Aaron Rodgers, 250 yards passing. I'm going to go over. I think he's going to have a very good game, and I'm going to give you my 5 key points after this, and you'll see why. So I'm going to say over. Ray?
Over, I think though Surtain's a good DB, but I think we can take advantage of the other ones.
Okay. Ralph?
Yeah, I think it's right around there. I'm going to say a little bit over.
Okay, I'll say over two. Ralph, 3.5 sacks, the Jets. Are they going to get it over or under?
Yeah, I do think they're going to get their 3.5 sacks on him because I think he's going to be passing a lot and I think, well, we'll talk about the blitzing later, but yes, over.
By the way, talking about sacks, I don't know, have you guys seen the Giants, their defensive line last game? I mean, he doesn't get enough credit. This guy, Dexter Lawrence, that guy's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's really good. He's like unblockable. It's incredible. All right, Ray, over under 3.5 sacks.
I'm going to go under just because I think Nix is a smart guy who can run. I think he can escape some of that pressure and he'll get rid of the ball. But I think he will be under pressure a lot. So it wouldn't surprise me if they go over, but I think he'll keep it at around 3.
I'm going to go under two. Okay, Hall and Allen, 130 yards combined rush. And I'll go first. I think last week combined, they might have been around 115.
Yeah.
I'm going to say under. I think the Broncos' defensive line is very good. I think the weak part of their defense is actually the linebackers. But when I go through my 5 points, you'll see why. So I'm going to say under. Ray?
I'm going to go over, and mainly because it seems like the last two. Where are we? This one's in New York, right?
Yeah, the last 2 years was in
Last year was in
Denver.
Denver, but Breece seems to break off a big one against them every time he plays them. So between that and Braylon Allen might do the same on a run, I think we'll go over.
Ralph?
Yeah, I think if it was just ball control, I'd say under. But I think one of those guys is going to pop a 40 or 50 yarder, so I'll go over.
Okay. Now, they have a defensive back, Surtain, who's very good. Wait a minute, hold on. Somebody's calling me. I gotta.
Got to be Rob August, right?
And Surtain is really, really good. I mean, he's like kind of like Revis. And the last few games, thanks to Ralph and our crack research department, he held DK Metcalf to 29 yards, Pickens to 29 yards, Mike Evans to 17 yards, which is incredible. So I guess the question is, he'll be on, no doubt, Garrett Wilson. Over under, Ralph, you'll start 60 yards. Will Garrett Wilson have over or under 60 yards?
Well, Rodgers, this is going to be patient, but I think Garrett might break one for 30 or 40, so I think he'll go over.
Okay. I'll go next. I think it's going to be under. I think he'll get very close to that, and he'll have about four or five receptions. I think he had five last week, but he's going to start to get frustrated. He might even get a touchdown like last week too. Probably at last week, Christian Gonzalez covered him, did a good job, but he ended up getting a touchdown off of him. So I'm going to say under. Ray?
I'm going to say over, mainly because the one thing between the other three receivers that Garrett is just got moves that gets him some yards after catch that I think the others don't quite possess the shiftiness and elusiveness that Garrett has once he has the ball in his hands. So I think he could, I mean, I don't think he's going to, torch him at any point, but I think he will get enough catches that he can get some yards beyond and make a, maybe a intermediate kind of play, maybe a 15, 20 yarder once or twice. So I'm going over.
Okay, that's good. All right, next question, the last one on the over-unders. The Jets defense, last week they blitzed 40% of the time. I think they're going to continue to blitz, but the over-unders, will they blitz over 35% or under 35%? I'm going to say under, but I still think they are going to blitz a fair amount. So, Ray, you go next.
I think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna quite. Are we saying 35% as the line? I think they'll go a little under that. I think at least at first, I think they're gonna see if they can do the usual, get the pressure with the four guys, and keep the linebackers and everybody back in coverage or, against run or intermediate plays. So unless they have unless the four guys can't get pressure, I think they'll stay under 35.
Okay, Ralph.
Yeah, I think they're going to show a lot of blitz. They're going to try and play with him.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be dropping off and spying him a lot and not as blitzing as much as they show. So I'll say a little bit under two, which is still a lot more than they've done in the past years. I'd say low 30s. I think what last year was like 20 or something like that.
17.
17.
Last
Yeah.
in the league, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
I like, yeah. So, but I think it'll be a nice balance, though.
And we have to give Nathaniel Hackett and Jeff Ulbrich credit. Last game, they both changed it up and it worked well. Especially, I thought the offense and the defense, it was just terrific. Ralph, a little music as I give my five key points.
Dun, da, 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 da,
Okay,
da.
here we go. My five key points, and we're going to get Ray's and Ralph's reaction right afterward. They could add
If we
some stuff.
can remember them, yeah, that's
Yeah,
the
okay. I
thing.
want to, for point number one, I want to exploit the Denver backers. Their best linebacker or best tackler, Alex Singleton, is out with an ACL. I want Rodgers to continue throwing the quick passes, use our tight end like they did last week, use the running back on some screens. And I especially want to see Gibson, and I want to see Malachi Corley in there too. I love having the shorter type guys on screens because I think they're kind of hard to pick up from the other team sometimes running around these big guys. So, again, I want to explore their linebackers. That's point number one. Point number two, Pat Surtain is going to be on Wilson. Their other defensive back is Riley Moss, who's pretty good. He's 6'1". I actually think he might be one of the very few Caucasian starting defensive backs
Yeah,
in the league,
corners, yeah.
which is interesting. Now, don't
Yeah.
forget, we have Mike Williams at 6'4" and Lazard at 6'5", and Aaron Rodgers is the master of using the height advantage with his receivers. So again, I think I would try to throw to Riley Moss's side. I feel bad for our favorite player, Garrett Wilson, but that's point number two. Point number three, I mentioned this on Jets 2 Minute Tuesday. I love Braylon Allen, and I probably, as Ray will tell you, I overreact too much. He reminds me, Ralph, you know who he reminds me of a little bit?
Herschel Walker.
No.
As a politician, not as a player.
No, yeah. No,
Yeah.
Ralph comes up with these lines, right? That's why we're still friends after all these years. He kind of reminds me, if I see more receiving out of backfield, which in the small sample size he looks good, of a mini John Riggins. So I don't know if he's as fast, but I had said I would spread out Breece Hall once in a while, but I want to see Braylon Allen try to isolate against one of these linebackers. That's point number three. On the defense, I always like showing something different to a rookie quarterback. And I mentioned, how about having a 5-2 defense, moving Quinnen Williams to nose guard and start Leonard Taylor II, who I was very impressed with. Force Bo Nix to pass, but you got to contain him on the outside. That's point number four. Point number five, continue with the blitz package. But watch Sean Payton. He's a great coach. He's going to use screens, draws, and bubble plays. I guarantee it. Look for a reverse by Sutton. And also, and Ralph mentioned it, Javonte Williams has not looked good from his injury 2 years ago. So I don't know how effective the running game is going to be, but we have to force him to pass. So those are my 5 points. I'll start with Ray. Ray, do you have any additions, subtractions, or anything else?
No, not really. I mean, I think you said a lot of things we said during the cast anyway. Keep an eye on them. Don't let them take off running on us. So I don't know about moving Quinn into the middle and doing that, but I mean, if they were to try it, I'm sure Quinn would do well there too. He pretty much can handle any of the positions, I think, if needed. But mostly, yeah, I really don't. You know, I don't know what to expect out of this game, quite honestly, because I don't think Denver's as good as us. But, you know, Peyton is a good coach, and Nix is something that we aren't sure of yet. But he hasn't been overly impressive, but he hasn't stunk. So I think we can control him and control the game.
Bo Nix has been getting slowly getting better and better as each game goes by. Keep
Right.
in mind, in 3 games, though, he hasn't thrown one touchdown pass. So he's keeping his passes kind of short to mid-range. Ralph, any additions, subtractions to
No,
my.
I mean, you touched on some guys. Mike Williams, I think we're going to see more of him. I'm really excited about him. You said the tight ends. Braylon Allen, you don't have to sell me on. I want to see more of him. And Leonard Taylor, yes, more Leonard Taylor. I think Leonard Taylor by the end of the year is going to be a dynamite player. He's super talented. The idea that he wasn't drafted is great for the Jets, but it's mind-boggling with this league. You know, when draft time comes, when a guy starts slipping, everyone panics, like, is there something wrong with this guy that we don't know about? I
No.
remember that happened with Jermaine Johnson. Teams were calling around going, why is he slipping? What happened? Is there something we don't know about? And this is what happens in this league. But I think they really got a gem in this guy. He is super talented. And I agree with you, Marty. I want to see him on that lineup. He actually played more than we even realized last week. Either it was either 24 reps or 24% of the downs, well, something like that. It was so obvious, and he looked good. I mean, this is a guy who, since he's shown up at Florham Park, every game he's played in, he's making plays. There is absolutely no reason to stop, you know, playing this guy because he just keeps producing.
I think I mentioned Ralph, like in one play, he got in there so quick, just like our old favorite John Elliott. He was like, when
Yeah.
he touched, it was just incredible. Yeah. All right, we're going to get back to the trivia question and close this out. But before we do that, we have Marty's favorite. Who do you take, Ralph? I can't wait. I mean, I could barely sleep last night knowing that you're going to have a who do you take
Well,
on.
I could barely sleep knowing that you weren't sleeping because it was very concerning to me. Because, okay, today's is a couple of high-profile wide receivers from Jet history. We're going to set the Wayback Machine back to the 1960s, and we're going to take George Sauer Jr. against Keyshawn Johnson.
Ooh, that's very interesting.
Marty will go first
I'll
because he's
go
the big
first.
AFL guy.
I am. As much as I love George Sauer Jr., his career didn't span that long, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm talking about the Keyshawn Johnson years with the Jets. It's not just Keyshawn altogether. It's
Right.
George Sauer with the Jets. Because Keyshawn played only 4 years, I think, with the Jets. So
I think it was five, but you could be.
five.
I'm going to say Keyshawn Johnson because one thing, he had a few liabilities, but when he wanted to play, he was a heck of a blocker. He was like having another tight end there. So I would say Keyshawn Johnson, though I love George Sauer Jr. Ray?
Yeah, I'm going with Keyshawn. I think if I think I'd probably feel differently about Keyshawn if they didn't bring Parcells in. But Parcells kind of knew how to make Keyshawn feel like he was, the important guy that he felt he was. And I think he brought out a lot of the things that Keyshawn could do that Kotite didn't have a clue what he was doing the whole time he was in there. But he made Keyshawn into more of an all-around player, not just a receiver. And when he was at his best, he really was someone who affected games and was, a really good all-around receiver for us.
Okay, Ralph.
Well, I'll say this about Sauer. I think he was two times first team All Pro, about four times Pro Bowl, which is better than what Keyshawn was at the Jets. But Keyshawn had some games where he was dynamite, absolutely dynamite. He was a better all-around player than Sowers. Their numbers are actually pretty similar as in their careers with the Jets. And, of course, Sauer had a great Super Bowl game, and Keyshawn had that phenomenal game against Jacksonville in the playoffs. What did he have? An interception, a fumble recovery,
Recovery,
a
a touchdown.
touchdown pass? Yeah. So I'll give the edge to Keyshawn, even though George Sauer, not only did I like him as a player, I loved him as a person. I thought he was a very fascinating guy. It was a shame that he died at such a young age.
Why did he retire? So there was a reason he
Yeah, he
retired.
just, George Sauer was different.
Yeah.
He saw football like he didn't even, it was just him against he wrote a book about this, him against the receiver. He wasn't, he didn't feel a connection, I don't think, to playing football. It was just that particular challenge. He was a free spirit.
Yes,
And
he used to write poetry.
I just don't think football was really in his soul in a way.
Right. Kind of reminds me, I don't know if Ray might remember him from, he played a number of years, but he kind of wasn't like what the type of football player you see. I remember Cincinnati had a defensive lineman, I think, named Mike Reed.
Yeah, from Penn State. Was a
Yeah.
pianist. He was a concert pianist.
Yeah, he had a fairly shortened career, I believe, after, I don't know, 6, 7, or 8 years. He was kind of an intellect too, and I just
Great player, great
great
talent.
play, quick as
Yeah.
anything. But I'll tell you, my favorite Keyshawn play was one time, I don't know if it was Vinny, a quarterback, but he was thrown to a guy behind him, and Keyshawn, I guess Vinny or whoever was quarterback, didn't see him, and Keyshawn jumped up and he grabbed it with one hand. I'll never forget that. It was an incredible play, and I never see a replay of that too.
I don't know if it was the game which Testaverde blew his Achilles, but Keyshawn had one game where he was absolutely phenomenal, even though Testaverde wasn't there. Whoever took Tupa took over for a while. Did he play the rest of the game, or did they in the
And then they
second?
brought in Meyer after the,
Meyer.
because
Yeah, but
you
I
couldn't
can't.
bring in Meyer till I think it was the end of the half or something.
Yeah, right. It was very bizarre. And I remember thinking when the game was over, what a shame that they lost that game, because I just thought Keyshawn was phenomenal that game, catching balls and breaking tackles and getting these chunk plays one after another. That was one of the more frustrating games in Jet history. It
He
was.
was very effective when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. I believe he had six receptions, but his blocking was outstanding. Again, him and John Gruden couldn't stand each other at all. These guys hated each other. All right, this brings us to the close as we're going to go back to the classic trivia question. I wrote down two names, but Ralph, you have to ask the question again. I'm going to yield to Ray because I think he's going to get more than me. Go ahead, Ralph.
So in 10 days we visit our old friend Sam Darnold, and Darnold was last at the Jet in 2020, and there are still four players on the 53-man roster who were Darnold's teammates that year. Can you name the four players?
Four players? I got two. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, I was going through, I could only think of three, and I'm not sure I'm right, but Ashton Davis,
Good one, Ray.
Mosley,
Yep.
Yeboah.
No, not your boa.
Yeboah wasn't on the team with
Nah, I don't
Darnold.
think your boa was.
That was
Then
it. I only have one. I picked the Mosley and I put Brandon Echols.
no, Brandon Echols is a year later too. Wow,
Go ahead.
you missed the easiest one.
Go ahead.
Quinnen Williams.
Oh,
So
okay.
that's three: Quinnen Williams, Mosley, and Ashton Davis. The fourth one, of course, is the trick one: Hennessy, this long snapper.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a
And by
very
the way,
good one.
there's someone on the practice squad too.
I was just gonna say, what's his name? Connor.
Connor McGovern, yeah, who was
Connor
very
McGovern.
intimately related to Sam Darnold,
Yeah,
obviously.
but I mentioned him. It was wrong, Brandon Echols. As I mentioned, I just want to give him credit. I get down on a lot of players. I was very down on him. I think quietly he's doing a pretty good job for the Jets when he gets in there. So I just want to give kudos to him. I don't know if you guys have noticed him too. But I think he's doing okay and he fits a role. If he continues, I think it's a pretty good situation for the defensive backs. I'd like to see Diggers in there a little more, but I want to give him credit. I don't know, Ray or Ralph, have you noticed him at all?
I know he had one interception that was pretty nice.
No, I kind of agree with you. I think his contract is up this year. I wonder what they're going to do about him, because I think everyone's pretty well convinced that they're not going to sign DJ Reed. And I was thinking, well, either Stiggers or Bernard Converse steps in, or maybe they draft a cornerback in the first round. But I don't know if Echols is a possibility too. I hope not. I really don't want him as a starter.
No, no,
No.
no, no. I could see Michael Carter maybe moving out of the slot. I think he could do it. I just
You
think
think so?
I think he's kind of being nagged with these minor injuries right now. He hasn't looked the same to me. So we'll have to see if he straightens out. Anything else before we close it out? Yeah, Ray's back.
I got something, if you have a few minutes to discuss, that we could talk about. A couple of weeks ago, three ex-Jets were nominated for the Senior Hall of Fame. Larry Grantham, Mark Gastineau, and Boomer Esiason, who I don't consider a Jet. I don't think he's part of our conference. He's a Bengal.
Yeah.
But I wanted to hear, guy, your feedback on what you think about Gastineau and Grantham as possibilities.
Yes.
I never saw a Gastineau as a Hall of Famer. Grantham, I think, deserves some definite conversation. He was a pretty solid guy for quite a while with the Jets back then. Gastineau, I don't know. He's a one-dimensional defender. That was my problem with him.
Yeah, the thing I'd say, I kind of agree with Ray. I just want to add something else, though. Grantham, I think, deserves it. He was like old-time football. He was kind of undersized, but this guy was hard-nosed. He did everything very, very well. He had some great games. The thing I'll say about Gastineau, though, even though he was kind of one-dimensional, he was the type of player that the offensive coordinator could keep him up at night. Gastineau, if you remember, sometimes right when the offense would come up to the line of scrimmage, he would switch sides and it'd have to audible, which is pretty impressive too. So I think he's kind of borderline, but I think Larry Grantham deserves it. How about you, Ralph?
I think Grantham probably does. He was all pro like about 5 or 6 times, and pro bowler maybe 8 times. Had 24 interceptions, a lot for a linebacker. I know in those days there were more picks. Gastineau is interesting because I'll say this about Gastineau. For about 3 or 4 years, he was probably the best edge rusher in football. He had 220+ and 119. I don't know if anyone else has had more than 220+. I doubt it. I don't even know if anyone has had 220+ sack years. I think the problem with Gastineau, he might have been a year or two short. If he had had another 1 or 2 years, like in the mid-teens, I think he probably would have made it. And the other problem with Gastineau, unlike Klecko, Klecko was getting support from all these other players. Gastineau, nobody liked Gastineau.
Right.
All he had was enemies. He annoyed everyone, and nobody's going to step up for him. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, the thing about him that I always crack up about is they hated him for the sack dance, and it's like, oh,
Yeah,
you're
today, right?
yeah.
Yeah.
About 10 years ahead of your time there, because nowadays that would have been like, that's the lamest dance ever. But back then it just drove. Remember, was it Slater there or the
Yeah, it
Rams?
was the round. I was just watching that the other day. That was hilarious. I
Oh,
mean,
man.
it's so ridiculous. I know in today's game, it's like everyone does it, and these guys are going to.
Everybody's got their
And the
move.
announcers, Madden and some are always saying, he'll never do
Right.
that again. It's like.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned it. It's amazing that players can't be judged just on the talent. A lot of times the personalities come into it. I forgot the name of the ball player. Ralph might know, the baseball player who played on Cleveland and Baltimore. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He did not get along with the press.
Albert Bell?
Albert Bell.
No, yeah.
You look at his numbers for like 8 or 9 years, it's just unbelievable, the RBIs. I mean, that guy deserves it. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, but I laugh when I hear people trying to lobby for Munson and Mattingly, and Albert Bell isn't in it.
He was nuts, though, Albert Bell.
He was, he
I
was. And a lot of sports writers to this day, I've heard them. I'm not voting for him no matter what. He must have treated him like crap.
Well, in baseball, they do have the clause for the character consideration, which is baloney, but they have it. They don't have that in the other sports, but
Right.
yeah, I mean Albert Joey Bell
Oh,
was
last
the.
thing, quickly, because we're really going overtime. Score prediction, I'm going to say Jets 24, Denver 21. Ray?
I think it's going to be 27. 17 Jets.
Marty, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going with the palindrome score this time, 31 to 13.
There you go. Okay. So with that, we're going to close it out for Ray Clifford, Ralph Scherega, and Marty Shupak in Valley Cottage, New York. We didn't have time. We're running out. Ray, any last few seconds, anything on the Buckeyes for this weekend?
Buckeyes get their first supposed test of a
Who's that?
Michigan State, but
Michigan State lost to BC last
I
week,
know
right?
they're Big Ten at least. So, but
Yeah.
that one quick thing I was going to add, because you had brought up the linebacker there early on that you liked Marty, and that was the greatest pickup. I think the greatest linebacker pickup we ever had wasn't a waiver claim, but he was a free agent, was when we picked up Brian Cox.
Oh yeah.
For 1 year, he was
My
all
favorite one-year
unbelievable.
Jet in the
Yeah.
history. I love
He
that
was
guy.
something.
He was
He
great.
was nuts, but he was great for us. Bill Parcells would
And
always pick him.
give it credit, the fact that Bill Parcells and Brian Cox both had the same hobby,
Race.
racing racehorses.
Yep.
It was a common theme.
That's how he knew
Right.
him back then.
Recruit him. All right. Great point, Ray. So enjoy the game for Jets Rewind. Until next time.